When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Welcome to the Real Deep Movie Review Podcast. Today we're going to be discussing The Conjuring: Last Rites. Quick heads up to all of our listeners. There will be plenty of spoilers throughout our discussion today. All right. So what were your initial thoughts?
I liked it. Like, I thought it was good. You know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good horror movie.
Yeah, same. I expected it to be scary, right? Mm-hmm. And I expected it to be a good horror movie. And I was satisfied with it. I mean, I think it was generally kind of what I expected walking out. So I felt pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in particular jump out to you initially?
Not really. Honestly, I didn't really. It's one of those where I don't have like a ton to say on like good or bad. It was just kind of like, you know, it was good. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was just like, it was a fine movie. You know,
was it, did you think it was going to be scary? And then how was it compared to that?
Yeah, no, I was going into expecting to be pretty scary. And then I feel like it was like, it had some well done scary scenes. Like they did a good job of like building suspense with their scares and stuff instead of just like a loud in your face jump scare. So I feel like they did a great job building suspense. I thought that they had a couple, cause like there was like a demon and there's like spirits and stuff. And I feel like they had a couple like scary type looking people. So yeah, you know, I thought it was scary. It wasn't like, I don't really know how to explain it. It wasn't like as scary as I thought it would be, but like it was scary. You know what I mean? Like I was uncomfortable while watching, but like it wasn't like this is going to stick with me forever kind of scary. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. It does. Yeah. I agree. It was, you know, I mean, to me, the scariest movies are always the ones that are like a little bit like supernatural, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Have to do with, you know, ghosts or hauntings or whatever. Those to me are scarier than like slasher movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Even though you can get like jump scared with both, right? Mm-hmm. But the one is just a little scarier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. This one I didn't like walk away feeling like it was going to stick with me or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they did a good job with it and that it was scary. I mean, there were times where, I mean, you know, once or twice during the movie where like my palms were getting sweaty. Like it was,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like there was good suspense, good build up to some of those scenes. And so I think it was legit scary. And I think for the most part kind of met my expectations for what I thought I was going to get from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the first one that I've seen of the franchise, of the Conjuring franchise,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there was some feedback from people that felt like, you know, that was the final one, right? And they were a little disappointed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be the final. I wouldn't be surprised if they still make movies. I feel like they always do. Oh, it's the final one for, like, all these franchises, and then, you know, like they always just come back with another one. You know?
Yeah. But I know some people felt like it wasn't a great like send off to it for whatever reason.
Actually saw a lot of people say they think it was a good send off to it. Like they felt like it was a good wrap up for the Warren family, that they were kind of like, you know, the daughter, she's getting married, she's kind of moving on of her life. You know, the two obviously like main characters, the mom and dad Warrens, they, you know, they're kind of like that kind of coming to terms with the fact that he's, you know, he's kind of getting older, and, you know, it's like, he's kind of like ready to, you know what? Yeah. You know, I'm ready to put this all to rest and, you know, move on with our lives, and, you know, we can move past all this haunting stuff and we can just focus on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think critically it didn't get as high ratings as people thought it would. Right.
But, yeah, I mean, most horror movies never do.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, I think it was the highest grossing horror movie to come out this year in terms of first weekend. And I think it did well from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I think the audience reception has been pretty good.
It did do well from that standpoint. Cause I do remember seeing something about like September's usually pretty slow for movie theaters, and it did like really great numbers for being September. And you know, yeah, it's just, it did really well, which I'm not that surprised. You know, it's a Conjuring movie, and Conjuring's a pretty well-known,
well-received franchise. Right?
Yeah. 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 I definitely have heard that, but you know, I still need to watch it myself, but I've heard that the first two are like the first one's considered scariest, you know, and then it's the second one. And then after that, it's kind of like all like, you know, jumbled together a little bit. Although I did hear that people liked this one more than the third one and more than the spinoffs.
Yeah, I think they kind of went back to the first two, like the same kind of framework, right?
Yeah.
Like a haunted house kind of framework.
Yeah.
More so in this one than I think some of the other sequels had done.
Yeah, and I think that is definitely kind of an important part of it. Like, I feel like that's important to like, well, it's important to one for the Warren story, right? Like their whole thing was that they went to haunted houses, like they went to haunted locations and stuff. So like it makes more sense and is in, it's within more of the like groundwork of the franchise. Something I actually did really like about the movie was that there were clear rules. Like you understood without them saying it, without like a long exposition, you understood the rules of what could happen when and where, right? Like there would be times like for someone to like have like this, like, all like this like demon spirit thing attacking them, they would have to be alone. Like for them to actually see that thing, they have to be alone. So if other people are there, other people come in, it ends. Like that part's over. Like it can't present itself like that. Like it's basically messing with their mind because the demon is not in our realm. It's like in its own realm, but it's like playing with their head. So the only way that the demon can like come into our realm, like physically, would be to possess somebody, which we see happen in the movie. We see a possession, and then everybody now can be affected and see the demon without it going away until it's done possessing that person.
Yeah. Or possessing an object or something, right? But yeah, like possessing something, right?
Yeah. So I did really like that. I like that there was a clear rules, clear set of like understanding of what could happen, because, you know, we just talked about weapons a couple weeks ago, how it was a little bit like, what's going on? Like there's not really any clear rules here. Like nothing really makes sense. It's like, is there supernatural stuff going on? Is there not? But in this one, it's very clear. It's like there is supernatural stuff, and here's the basics of what can happen without ever having to give like an expository, like detailed breakdown of it, you know?
Right. The one thing I could never quite figure out though, because I agree with you that with everything that you just said, except the one part that's still a little confusing to me is, you know, there's the part where, the priest goes to see the bishop of like the diocese where that family in the Smurls, right? The family, yeah, in Pennsylvania where the haunting is all taking place, right?
Yeah.
So they're looking for help from the church. Church is kind of ignoring them. And then there's this like priest who had been working with the Warrens, mm-hmm, throughout their history, right? So he gets, yeah, involved and he goes to see the family. He obviously, you know, he figures out that there's a haunting, right? Like, mm-hmm, he's throwing holy water everywhere and it's like steaming and like, yeah, he knows that there's like evil spirits there, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes to see the bishop to like convince the church that, you know, there's whatever needs to happen, an exorcism or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And he gets there and he's like waiting in the lobby, or not the lobby, but like this little like waiting area outside, mm-hmm, the bishop's office. And he's talking to the secretary, right? And he's sitting there and she's there.
Mm-hmm.
But then like he starts to like see all this stuff happening, right?
Yeah.
So that's the one part I couldn't quite figure out. Does that actually follow the same rules as everything else? Or had he been possessed at some point?
That's what I was going to say is, I think what happened is that like something in the house, like when he was there, because, you know, he went down in that basement by himself. And, you know, that steam and smoke is all around him. I wonder if something basically like attached itself to his person and then like went in his head, because he was actually like in some way type of possessed there, because after he was seeing things, he went and grabbed the vacuum cord and hung himself.
Right.
So he was,
and that's possessed. What, and that's what they were all doing after they became possessed. They would all try to hang themselves. Right?
Yes. So I do think I kind of know what you mean. It was kind of weird, but I think that was kind of the implied thing is that he's, that was maybe what's happening when they're like in the process of getting possessed. Like maybe he is like, cause they never said to be possessed, you have to be alone.
Right.
So that could be what it was just like, cause I think that was, he wasn't seeing any, well, he might've been, we don't see him see any demons, but like it was more just like darkness around him and like voices and stuff. And then it like went inside of him. So maybe that was supposed to be like, this
that was
is
him
the visualization of what happens when they're getting possessed. This is what they see.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Could be. But yeah, you're right. I mean, later in the movie, you know, you've got Lorraine, right. And mm-hmm. Lorraine, Warren down in the basement and she's, you know, seeing all this stuff going on. Right. And like, you think she's going to die at any second. And then, you know, her daughter's fiance like busts in and everything goes away. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I will say, I do think that the spirit that was like attacking her, the tall, thin man with the creepy face and the axe, that was by far the scariest of like all of the spirits.
Yeah, I agree. He was awesome. Mm-hmm. He was, yeah, for sure the scariest. And I just thought he was just well done, like just a super cool, scary, terrifying figure, right? Like mm-hmm. him being so freakishly tall, I think added to it a little bit. Yeah. You know, he's wielding this axe and.
Yeah, something about like tall and thin is like scary because that's like, you know, like Slenderman, like that's another one that's like people have talked about a lot. And I feel like that's something else like other movies have kind of taken is like the tall, thin man is like scary, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I don't know what stems from that, like why people feel that way.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he was for sure the scariest. I thought most of the characters were pretty good. Like I don't feel like there were mm-hmm. any characters where I was like, what's this guy doing here? Or,
yeah.
You know, who is this? Right.
Yeah. I think that all of the actors and actresses sold their role really well. That was actually something that, yeah, I meant to touch on too is, all the acting was great. And yeah, I felt like all the characters had a reason to be there and nobody felt like why is this person here? The one thing I will say is I feel like there was some decision-making by the Warrens that was just kind of like, well, that was stupid. You've been doing this for like 20 years and you decided, well, I guess I'll just walk up here by myself. Like, why? Like,
yeah, it was one of those things.
Why would you do that? Like,
it wasn't like all the, you know, I don't know, all the old slasher movies where like you've got the one person who just like does the dumb thing and lets the, you know, killer in mm-hmm. or does like some ridiculous thing, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, but there were a lot of moments where they were alone.
Yeah.
And that did not make sense to me, especially because there seemed to be this rule of like, these things happen when you're alone.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why is Judy's the daughter of the Warrens, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why is she walking around on her own upstairs? Why is she going in the attic? Why is Lorraine on her own? Like, none of that really made any sense to me why they would make these decisions.
No, that scene of Judy really didn't make any sense, especially because it was like, dude, you've been raised by these people. You would think you would know better. And then also it's like, oh, your mom just so happens to be calling your name from the attic, but when you call her name back, she doesn't say anything.
Right.
Like, geez, I wonder what it could be. Like, right, like, you know that there's a demon in this house.
But she's been seeing these, like,
you've been evil seeing things,
spirits and having these thoughts for her entire life, right?
Like, that was really, like, and then her going up there. So her going up there didn't even make sense. And then once she got up there, the fact that she went and go, like, oh, look at this creepy mirror. I guess I'll touch the glass. Like, why? Like, what?
Like, well, that one, I almost think like she was almost kind of drawn to it, right? Because I feel like Lorraine was drawn to the mirror, you know. So yeah. The movie starts out and it's like, what, 20 years prior or something like that.
Yeah, it was
supposed
to be before all this stuff, like back when they were like first starting their investigations and stuff.
Yeah. And so Lorraine's pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like just starting their investigations, like you said. And it's like she's drawn and like needs to touch the mirror. And so she touches it and then, you know, it cracks. And then we think that's where like the demon comes out. Right. Mm-hmm. And then she, gets rushed to the hospital. She has the baby. And like, then we find out, you know, some years later when Judy's like, you know, a little girl or whatever, she's like seeing all these horrible images. Right. And so she then for her entire life, she's like dealing with seeing these horrible, scary images. Right.
Yeah.
So like the demon, like, somewhat possesses her, like maybe not fully, but like in some way, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. I liked how they did that. But it did seem like they were kind of drawn to it. So then maybe that's how she was drawn to it later.
Yeah.
Right. Because it was like the same demon.
Yeah.
That had somewhat like attached itself to her or whatever. It was looking for her all this time. Right.
Yeah. Although I will say, after she leaves the attic, right, she shuts the thing, she's still like in the possession thing. And she goes in the next room and then Annabelle's there. And I don't really know how I feel about that because, you know, again, for me, I haven't seen the other ones, but obviously I know Annabelle is like kind of like the biggest of like the demon possession things of all these movies. Like the antagonist of the first one, obviously she has spinoff movies and stuff. But basically what I saw was that people were kind of like almost annoyed with the fact that Annabelle was back again. It's like, why is she here again? Like, why has she continuously been a part of all these movies? Like, let's move on. You know, like, this is kind of, like, silly, you know? But apparently that is, like, Judy's, like, demon. Like, that's, like, her, like, own little thing or something like that. So that kind of made sense. But it was a little bit weird. I didn't mind it when Judy would be kind of like seeing Annabelle places. I felt like that was fine.
Yeah, but then I liked that part.
When it was like, oh, she's in this room and then she starts like mutating and growing into a giant Annabelle. It was like, all right, what are we doing? Like, this is stupid. Like this just doesn't make any sense. Like it also just lost the fear factor. Now I thought what they were going to do, and I told you this, I thought they were going to have Annabelle turn into the tall, thin man. Like, because as you start to see her growing taller, I was like, it's going to turn into the tall thing, man. And then he's going to turn around and start chasing her. That would have been really scary. But no, it was just like a giant Annabelle doll.
Right.
But it was like all like pudgy and stuff.
It was almost scary. Like laughable. Like, why did they do that? Yeah, that was the one part of the movie where I feel like it was a big miss.
Yeah.
Everything else I thought was generally pretty good. But that was a miss to me because, yeah, you see these like big black shoes like grow to this enormous size. It just looks goofy. Like,
yeah,
that's not scary to me. Right.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And honestly though, back to the, going off alone, like Lorraine went off alone a couple of times. There was one time where like she heard something upstairs. So she went off to go investigate and Judy was like, oh, let me go with you. She's like, no, it's too dangerous. And it's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, no, I'm going to go alone instead. Like, why? Like, you're putting yourself. And then it was that time that Lorraine almost got like possessed and hung because then we cut to her in the basement and she's standing on like the little stool with like the rope right there. Like, you idiot. Like, again, you've been doing this for like 20 plus years and you just decided, I'm going to go alone.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I didn't like that. I didn't like that they were doing that because it's like, come on, we know these people are smarter than this.
Yeah, they should have learned over all this time not to do those things. Now, there was some criticism of the pacing of the movie. People felt like it moved too slowly at the first part of the movie. I did not get that. Like, I felt like the pacing was actually pretty good because I feel like, while yes, you had these like two different stories, right? You had the Smurls and then you had the Warrens, right? And so they're like telling both stories until they come together. But there was enough going on. Like there were still some scary scenes. There was still enough kind of build up and tension where I didn't feel like it was like slow. It's not like you had like 45 minutes of just like talking and and build up of these characters, right?
There was always like something going on.
Yeah, they were just happened to be in two different places, right?
I do feel like they definitely could have cut down on some of it because it was like a two and a half hours, but like 2 hours and like 15 minutes or something like that. Like it was kind of long, and like I feel like there were some times where it was like we probably don't need all of this extra exposition. Like, you know, like we could probably cut some of this out. So yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like there was some stuff that could have been cut out, but I feel like for the most part, it was done well. But I don't know. A complaint I did see was that it seemed like people were talking about, like, it seems like they kind of get there. Obviously, they went there to go get their daughter, not to, like, do the investigation. But they basically did walk in no idea what to do. And then it was just like, well, we're here. All right, we'll help you. Yeah, we don't have any plan. This is like they literally just had any, they didn't have a single plan. They just like, oh, well, I guess we're just going to look around the house for a little bit. And like, that's all that happened. They just looked around. They're like, oh, you know what? This place is, there is a demon here. All right, let's move the mirror to our house. It's like that, that is the extent of their plan. It's just like, all right, let's just move the mirror. Like,
well, and we haven't seen the other ones, right? So we don't know what their normal investigative process is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it seemed like they were looking for something that was haunted. Mm-hmm. Right. Something that some object that was haunted.
Yeah.
And so that's what they were looking for. I mean, them deciding to help out, like I kind of bought it. Right. Like they see this family. They've seen enough families that they know this family's like dealing with all this trauma.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're in this terrible situation. And so, you know, they out of sympathy, they want to help them. Their daughter's there. She's advocating for mm-hmm. them. And so I kind of got that. But yeah, I mean, they didn't necessarily have like this huge plan. It was a little bit of a stretch to me that they were like, yeah, let's put this thing in the car and drive it home. It was just a little bit,
yeah,
a little bit weird, but we haven't seen the other one. So that maybe that's.
Yeah. I did feel like that was a little bit like, that doesn't seem like the best idea, right? Like, is it just not going to do anything with you on the road? Like, you know, that's not going to happen. Like, it just loses all power because now it's in your car.
Yeah, like, that's what I was thinking. It's like you're gonna drive off the road while you're driving home.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't leave. Right, I'm glad mm-hmm. they stayed back at the house the entire time. That to me was much better than you know us seeing them driving down the road with this thing and all that. But
And then honestly, a complaint and I've seen this complaint about just the genre in general is for the climax of the movie where. It all comes down to this big battle, the battle between the humans and the demon. Oh God. Everybody's fighting. And it's like, oh, you know what? The way we beat it, we have to work together. Everybody put your hand on the glass and don't be afraid. Look into it. And then it's like, oh my God. And it's like, that's how they win. It's like, oh, the power of friendship brought us all together. We beat the demon. Like, it's like, I've seen that complaint, and that's a complaint not just for this one, but like for a lot of movies in this genre of like, it's like they never know how to end it. They build it up as this demon is super powerful. Oh my God, what are we going to do? And instead of outsmarting the demon or like doing some clever trick stuff, it's, oh no, we're just going to work together. The power of us working together will be enough to stop it. The power of us being good. You know, it's just like, that doesn't like, that's kind of lame. Like that's really lame. This is the climax of the movie. We all just won because we all just decided to be united. Like,
yeah, it's like, weird. It's weird that that's how it ended.
Yeah.
Right? I agree.
It's like, so the demon just loses all power because, oh my God, these are good people. Ah, oh my God. What am I going to do? Like, it's like, that doesn't make any sense. No, I mean, I guess you could talk about, oh, well, they're not afraid. So it like, maybe yeah, because
they talked about that early on, right? That like these things prey on fear.
Yeah.
And so they find you when you're vulnerable. They find you when you're afraid. And that's where they really get you. Mm-hmm. And so that was the, if I'm going to take sort of their side or play devil's advocate for a minute, I mean, Judy, her entire life, her mom had told her, when you see these things, mm-hmm. you say this little phrasing or whatever, right? The silly little
rhyme
she taught her. And then just block it out, right? That was her guidance to her. Block all these things out.
Yeah.
And then eventually at the end, she's like, look, you can't block it out anymore. You need to look and not be afraid.
Yeah.
And when she does that, that's when it like decides to leave her alone. So that did kind of fit in a little bit with what they had talked about earlier about like these things preying on people that are afraid. So I give him a little bit of credit there. I mean, I agree. It was kind of like the whole scene where they all put their hands on the glass was a little bit more like what you're talking about. Like, oh, we all did it together and whatever. Right. But like her overcoming the fear and that influencing the demon no longer being after her or whatever, like that part at least stuck a little bit with the broader plot, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I see what you're saying. I understand that it's like the messaging kind of thing they're trying to push, but like, I don't know. I don't like that kind of ending. Apparently that's an ending for a lot of them. Like apparently that's not like a new thing, but I would rather see an ending where it's like they outsmart the demon. They somehow like trick it into doing something, right? Like, I feel like that's like, okay, so like that makes sense because, you know, obviously you're not going to overpower this thing because it's far more powerful than anybody here, right? So that's why I don't like, it's like, we overpowered it together. It's like, well, how? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Also, a complaint along with that was, well, you know, Mr. Warren, he'd said, oh, go get the book, right? Like, go get the book, like the Bible, right? So he's like reading off like things and stuff, like to like banish the demons and like stuff like that. And that was, you know, it was kind of working a little bit. And then the demon like burned the book. It blew in the flames and stuff. Well, somebody was saying like, why didn't he just like have the book on him? Like, why did we have to go get the book? You know what I mean? Like, why did we have to like spend time running across the house to go get the book in the bag? Why didn't you already have the book with you? Why weren't you already reading off the book and performing these things that are apparently banishing the demon away, right?
Because you knew the house was haunted already, right?
Yeah, you already knew there was a demon here. They knew the demon was in the glass. Like, they knew the demon was in the mirror. They had had a prior experience with the mirror. So as soon as they saw it, they should have been like their first reaction was, all right, let's move it. Okay. Why didn't you start out with like reading off the book and like banishing the demon away? If that's an option.
Right. Why start with that and then that? Move the mirror. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause okay.
Cause they still put the mirror back in their like little, what they call it, like an artifact.
The
room.
Mirror is still like haunted. Like, it's still a haunted item. So it makes sense to put it, you know, keep it safe, move the mirror. Right. But yeah, why wouldn't you like banish the demon before you do that? Because then you kind of think about it. It's like, yeah, the whole reason they were able to move the mirror from that place to their house was because the demon had been beaten. If it hadn't been beaten before, would it not be like haunting you as you're driving to your house? Like, I don't know. It's definitely one of those like plot holes. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, why wouldn't you start with that? You know?
Yeah. I agree. That's probably one of the bigger plot holes. I don't know that there were too many plot holes though. I felt like they did a pretty good job.
Yeah. No, in general, I feel like it was pretty good at like just being consistent, but I did think that was one that after I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't even think about that, but that doesn't make any sense, either. You know?
But it does make sense. It's a little bit, a little bit kind of silly.
Yeah. But I do like how they were like experts on it. You know what I mean? Like, I liked how they knew what they were doing, and it was like, it wasn't really them messing things up, but like when something would go wrong, it's because somebody else did something wrong. Like when they were carrying that mirror, it started getting heavier. It started doing all these things. And the father of the father of the Smurl family, he started freaking out, and then he looks inside the mirror, which, you know, they told him, don't look in the mirror. He looks in the mirror, and then he sees a demon on the ceiling. He starts freaking out. He's like, oh my God. Then he drops it and falls on his leg, and he like hurts his foot, you know? And it's like, I thought that was well done, because it wasn't like the Warrens blew the whole thing. It was like, oh no, other people are messing things up. They don't know what's going on. And like, yeah.
Right. I mean, one thing they could have done is they could have flipped the thing over. Right?
Yeah. So that the mirror, I guess they could have done that. I never even thought about that, but that's true.
They had the blanket over top of it at first, right? And that was kind of I thought that was actually a pretty cool scene.
Yeah.
So like they're carrying this mirror down from the attic, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow it like got itself up there.
Yeah.
And they put a blanket over top of it so you can't see it. And then they like strapped it in, right?
Yeah.
But then like as they're carrying it, it's getting heavier. The guy's the Smurl dad is talking about how it's getting heavier, and you know, Ed Warren's like, yeah, it'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it like the straps like slowly start to come undone, and it starts to like come unraveled. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was a good way to kind of build up the tension a little bit.
It was a great way to build suspense, and it was a good scene. But yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, man, maybe you should have just like, you know, not carried it that way, right? Like, couldn't you have carried it and not looked at it at the same time? But
yeah, I thought in general the suspense was really good.
Yeah.
They had a lot of really good suspenseful moments that would lead up, like you kind of knew some things were coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter. Like they still got you because you didn't know exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You just knew that something was going to happen, and they did a really good job with the suspense, I thought, throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, overall, I feel like it was a good movie.
My favorite scene was I think it was, I think it's Heather Smurl. She's like not the oldest daughter, but the second one, mm-hmm. the one who got the mirror as a gift from her grandparents for confirmation.
Yeah.
I loved the night scene where like her, it was kind of like, this is when the movie started to get a little more intense, right? So mm-hmm. the dad's like in bed and he starts to like hear something or see something, right? And he looks down at the foot of the bed and you see like the old lady, mm-hmm. the creepy old lady ghost. And she's like there, like peeking through the foot of their bed.
Yeah.
And then she starts like messing with him, right? And like mm-hmm. starting to kind of kill him. And at the same time that's going on, this daughter's downstairs and she's like watching the video of when she got this mirror because she remembers that when she got it, there was a candle on a cake and before she got a chance to blow it out, like it got blown out and she thought it was her older sister like screwing with her.
Yeah.
And her older sister like claimed she wasn't. And of course, like things start happening, right? So she starts getting suspicious.
Yeah.
So she puts in the VHS and she's watching it. And then she like sees, you know, she pauses it. She goes like frame by frame and she sees this face, right? Like the guy, I think it's the guy, right?
Yeah.
Like it the axe wielding guy. She sees that and she like freaks out. And then like, he just starts like appearing and he's like chasing her with the axe. Mm-hmm. That was really good. That was probably the most intense scene I thought, right? Cause you have all this suspense where like, you know, something's going to happen. It's dark. She doesn't have any lights on. She's watching this video. She sees this creepy face. And then like all of a sudden, like this axe guy's like there and coming after her. That was awesome.
No, yeah, I did think that was really well done. I definitely thought that was one of the better scenes in the movie. I also think the VHS stuff, like I feel like that's a really great like feature in a horror movie. Like, yeah, you haven't seen any of the VHS movies, but like there's a whole like franchise like called VHS. And like the whole like idea is that like everything is, it's like a found footage, but like, it's not really found footage. It's like all fake obviously, but it's like, yeah, like you're watching it and it's like coming from like a VHS type video. And then it's like all these like supernatural, like scary things happening. And like, yeah, I think it kind of reminded me of that. And it was like, that's pretty good. Like that's pretty scary and yeah, pretty cool.
That reminds me of the Blair Witch Project. I don't know. Have you ever seen that one?
I've never seen it, but I know what you mean. Like, yeah, that was the first,
like the first one.
The first big one. And it's funny, because people actually thought that was real. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah. When that first came out, people thought that was legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty well done, especially for being like the first of its kind. And it was super low budget because, you know, they literally were just like running around with cameras in the woods, right?
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought overall the jump scares were effective. I mean, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I thought the jump scares were pretty well done.
Yeah, and I think the suspense leading up to it made it kind of all the more so. And then there were times where, like, there'd be this big buildup of suspense. Like, when she's in her room, when Judy's in her, like, childhood room at her parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, sees that there's, like, something going on, right? Like, the rocking chair's rocking. I can't remember if she actually sees Annabelle's face there or not.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, she says that little rhyme and then it like goes away. And I thought that was actually effective too. Like, I like when horror movies do that, where you have this buildup of suspense and like you don't know what's going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Or like something was going on, but like, and then it just goes away. Right. I think that's pretty effective because then later when the suspense is building, it leaves you guessing a little bit more. Right.
Yeah. Another one that I thought was really effective that wasn't like a jump scare, but it was like, kind of like a oh, gotcha. It was like when it was one of the first times you ever see spirits, but like when the mom of the Smurls is down in the basement, she's doing the laundry, and then it's like a picture of a man's face across the way, and as she's kind of moving around, she kind of looks over, she's hearing like little sounds, and she looks over, and then you can like barely make out in the darkness the like outline of the tall, thin man, and he's like just standing there, just like staring at her. That was really scary. That was really well done.
Creepy.
Because it was like, it wasn't, there was no like loud sounds, there was nothing, that it was just like once you see it, you notice it, and then it's just there. It's very unsettling, you know?
Yep.
And I like that then she like turns the light on and then it's not there.
It's right. Like, it's just that poster.
Yeah, it's just a poster. It's like, oh, okay. You know? And then she goes up and then she's on the phone. And then she turns the light off in the pantry and the phone starts getting pulled, like the wire, because it was like one of those wall phones with the wire and stuff. And then as she gets closer to the phone, it's like slowly just kind of pulls itself into the pantry. And it was just like that again. That was very, after seeing that last part with the guy, it's like that, that's pretty scary. Like, what if he's like in there? You know, it's like, right. It's like you actually feel like, I think that was probably the most effective part. Like the scenes with him were the most effective part. Cause he visually looked very scary. And so like when you see him, it doesn't, cause that's one thing I've heard of like a lot of these movies, and I've seen myself with these movies, is that once you see the person like full, you kind of lose that scare factor. Like, you're not as afraid because you know what they look like. So it's like when you see them, it's not as unsettling. It's like, okay, you know who's coming and what's coming, right? But for this guy, it was kind of like you don't really get a good look at him fully because he's in the darkness all the time until the end, where it's the last time you're seeing him and he's chasing Lorraine through the basement. So again, at this moment and in the moment of the VHS tape, this guy is really scary because you haven't gotten a good look at him yet. And you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's capable of. I mean, like for me, again, I haven't seen in these movies, but like, you don't know how far he's going to go. Like maybe he just reaches out and just grabs her and kills her.
Well, that's, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's what was so scary about the VHS section, right? When he starts attacking her and he's like coming at her with an axe, right?
Yeah.
Because I thought, like, I didn't know. Like at first I'm like, oh, it's ghosts. Like it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they're not actually going to like hurt you, or they're gonna like scare you into doing something.
Yeah,
but he starts like swinging an axe at her, and I'm like, oh god, like he's gonna take her out, right?
Yeah.
And then the family just happens to like come down the stairs and then it disappears. But
no, I do feel like that was really effective, although I do wonder how they handle that throughout the movies, because if nobody ever gets killed or hurt, I feel like it would almost eventually lose. Now, again, you know, for us, we haven't seen the other one, so maybe it's not the same for us. But, like, I wonder for, like, a fan of the movies or somebody who's just maybe not a fan, but they've seen them all. Like, does that ever get, like, you know, almost, like, stale? Like, yeah, does it almost get almost, to the...
You need them to be able to hurt them physically, yeah, right?
Because, like, if nobody ever gets hurt and nobody ever dies, it's, like, is there really any worry about they're going to die?
I
don't know.
I feel like they still get you with just the general creepiness and jump scare factors there, right? I think it's still going to be scary to see, even if you know that like they can't actually get him. But yes, for sure. Like if that's a rule, it's definitely going to like mess with it, mess with your interpretation of the scares a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I guess one thing that holds The Conjuring back a little bit for is it's supposed to be a telling of the events that happened to the real Warrens. So like, you know, I'm sure they take a lot of liberties with things, but they can't like completely change things because I'm sure some of those people are still alive as well. So like, they'd probably be upset that, you know, might have legal issues and all that.
Well, that's another fact that plays into it a little bit. It's like, it could, like, you kind of know the Warrens aren't going to die. Like,
you could
quickly like look them up and be like, oh, they're, you know, they died in this year, they're still alive or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so you kind of go into the movie then knowing that like, they're not going to die in this movie, but
yeah.
Well, so we had never seen the other Conjurings. I mean, I feel like this movie's still good for newcomers. Like I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Right. I can't speak to the other ones. I can't speak to the whole franchise at this point, but just for this movie as a standalone, I felt like it was a good movie. And I feel like even if you haven't seen the other Conjuring movies, you could see this one and still get enjoyment out of it. Like, I don't think you have to have the full backstory of all the other ones to be able to see this one and actually enjoy it.
No, I definitely agree with that.
All right. Well, you got any final thoughts before we give our verdict on this one?
No, I think I've said all I need to say.
All right, how are you going to score it?
I think I'm somewhere between like, actually, no, I think I'm like a 7.5 out of 10. Because like, I thought it was good. I feel like 8 out of 10 is maybe doing a little bit too, because I feel like 8 out of 10 is like, I want to watch it again. You know, I don't know if I want to watch this one again, at least not for a while. You know, I do want to see the other ones, see what I think. But yeah, no, I feel like 7.5 out of 10 because it was good. But I didn't think it was great. And it's definitely not bad, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right about where I was. I was thinking 7 out of 10. I think it's good. I enjoyed it. I think As a horror movie, as a scary kind of like supernatural horror movie in particular, I think they did a great job, and it was scary, right? Like I said, like my palms were sweating a couple points.
Yeah.
The suspense was really good. Some really good jump scares. It's not terrifying, right? Like every now and then you see a movie that's just like, it's terrifying. It kind of sticks with you a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
But it is scary and it is good and you're going to get some good suspense out of it. So yeah, I agree. I give it a 7. I would recommend people watch it if you're looking for a scary movie, because it's going to, you know, it's going to scare you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I want to watch it again anytime soon, but I do want to see, now I'm more interested in seeing some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Right? Especially the first two.
Yeah. It's definitely made me want to go check out some of the other ones, kind of see where I'd put it at.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for us. Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe and be sure to check out our next episode.